Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32, we're reading verses 1 through 5. I'll read the odd-numbered verses if you'll join with me on the evens. Psalm chapter 32, once you've found that, if you'll please stand as we read God's Word this morning. Psalm 32, beginning in verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou gavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. And let's pray this morning. Father, again, how we come as another Sunday to open up your book, to hear from you. Father, if we're here today and we've come in our own power, our own might, and our own strength, I pray that we'd have listening ears and open hearts for what you have for us. God, we need you. We need your presence. Holy Spirit power, pour that fresh oil upon the service this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger.
Great song this morning. Thank you for that. I believe that's key. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? You know, if you're not hungry, a well-prepared meal doesn't mean a whole lot. Just look at it and, eh. But if you're hungry and a well-prepared meal, man, let's dig in. Amen. And that's what we want to do right now. Let's dig into the Word of God and see what He has for us. You will get something from it if you're hungry for it. So let's pray together. And I want to speak this morning on the subject in the pursuit of happiness. You see, I don't see happiness in the verses that we read there, Psalm 32, 1 through 5. Oh, it's in there. It's in there. In the pursuit of happiness. And let's pray together. Our Father, we are hungry for You this morning. I pray that corporately more of us are hungry than not. And God, if that's true, then I believe that You will give us something from this book of Yours today. I pray, God, that You will use me to do it. I am nobody. I am nothing. Lord, but I've been put in this place of preaching, and I pray that You'll please speak through me today. May I be the channel, the tool that You use to speak a word to Your people that will encourage all of us. As we do, Father, fill us with Your Spirit. Give us both listening ears and a receptive heart and the will to do something about it when You speak to us. And we'll thank You for it. Help us in this moment in Jesus' name and amen. It would be interesting to know how much has been written by human beings on the subject of happiness. You think about it, the desire for happiness is so common, it is so universal to mankind that the writers of the Declaration of Independence called its pursuit one of our unalienable rights. The exact wording in the Declaration of Independence is this, I quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these, those unalienable rights, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, the word unalienable means may not be sold or transferred to another. Every human being has been endowed by their Creator, the Declaration writers said, to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And the writers of the document felt so strongly about happiness that they determined its pursuit was in the same company as life and liberty. And so life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness cannot be sold or transferred to another. It is each individual's own personal right, they said. And this pursuit, they said, was something that we were endowed with by God, their Creator. What a good day it was when leading government officials recognized the existence of God and the power of God and that He is the Creator, instead of denying Him and calling into question everything that He is. It's a good day. But that's the subject for another message this morning, another time. Truly, the pursuit of happiness is universal, and God had much to say about happiness in His Word. Now, the world's idea of the pursuit of happiness and God's Word, what it says about the pursuit of happiness, don't always jive. So, when you got a choice to make like that, you got to always go with the book. Stick with the book. You won't go astray, okay? Stick with the Bible. Now, you say, where is happiness in chapter 32 of Psalms, verses 1 through 5? Well, it's in the first word. The word blessed means happy. So you could rightly substitute a synonym here for that word. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. God tells us that our happiness has everything to do with our sin being covered. But here's my message this morning. It has to be covered by the right person. Let me read the verse again. Verse number 1. Blessed, happy is the man. End of the verse. Whose sin is covered. Now, Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13 says this. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now, does that sound like a contradiction to you? Well, if it does, it's not. Because in the two verses, you've got two different people covering sin. One verse says that man is happy when his sin is covered. The other verse says that man that covered sin will hinder you from prospering or being happy. The difference is in who is doing the covering. Who's doing the covering? And that's what I want to talk about this morning, just a couple of points in this lesson, and then we'll be on to the rest of the day. First of all, I want you to see, number one, sin covered by man results in unhappiness. Sin covered by man results in unhappiness. Look at verses 3 and 4 here in the passage that we read a moment ago, Psalm 32. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Now, the condition of the person described in these two verses was not one of happiness. That's pretty obvious. The one doing the writing here is David. And he knew a little something about covering sin. He knew a little something. Brother Greg, there's something with the platform monitors today. You could maybe boost it just a tad because I'm not hearing up here on the platform. So if you could just help me a little bit, it relaxes my voice when the monitors are up to where they usually are. So the one doing the right is David. He knows a little something about covering sin because it's what he did in his experience with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. And we're not going to turn for sake of time this morning to go through that scripture, but just for people maybe who may not be fully knowledgeable about what happened there, David was the king of Israel, and it was a time when kings went forth to battle. So David should have been with his men in battle, but he stayed at home. And one evening or early morning, he went out on his rooftop, and he looked across the way, and the way Middle Eastern houses were, this was not uncommon. When he looked across the way, here was a woman named Bathsheba preparing for a bath. And David looked upon her. You know, it wouldn't have been bad if David had seen her and then turned away and went inside and asked God to get it out of his mind. But he looked, and he allowed himself to look a second time. And before you know it, he had called some people in and was asking who that woman was. And he was told that her name is Bathsheba and her husband is Uriah, and he is out in war. And David sent for Bathsheba and became physically involved with her and, sent her on her way. And then she sent word back to him that she was expecting a child. And so rather than deal with his sin, David sends for her husband. Pulls her husband off the front line of battle and gets him, says, go down, you mean you've been at war, go down and enjoy a night with your wife, be home with your family. He thought, guy's been away from his wife, he's want to go see his wife. Well, Uriah had more character than David estimated. And Uriah went down and he spent the night on the porch, if I remember right. He never went in the house. And David pulled him back in the next day and said, what happened, man? I sent you down with your wife to go enjoy a time at home. And what are you doing? He said, my Lord Joab and the Ark of the Covenant and all Israel and Judah are out there on the battlefields. You want me to go down and enjoy the comforts of my wife? I can't do this thing. I'm a soldier. He had more character than David did at that point in life. So David got him drunk. Because, if you get somebody drunk, they lower their inhibitions. Like we've been teaching on Wednesday nights. When they get him drunk, they do things that they wouldn't normally do. So he got him drunk, but Uriah still didn't go enjoy the comforts of his home or his wife. He went out and slept with the servants. So when David saw that was a losing battle, he sent Uriah back to the forefront, but he sent with him a handwritten note from the king saying, put this man in the forefront of the battle and then leave him. Now, folks, are you listening? So Uriah carried in his pocket his own death sentence. He never looked at it, got there, delivered the note to Joab, and Joab read the note and he put Uriah on the forefront of the battle and he told Uriah's superior, his commanding officer, said, pull back and leave him there. And they did, and the obvious happened, Uriah got killed. Then David got word that Uriah was dead and he took Bathsheba. And she became his wife. Got that all covered up. Got that all washed over. Now, folks, David not only committed adultery, but he committed murder. And along the way, he attempted to cover and cover and cover his sin. And cover and cover and cover his sin. And now he is writing about that experience in Psalm 32. That's what he's writing about. He's writing about the time that he covered his sin. And people, covering sin is a sure way to lose happiness. Now you say, well, Pastor Angel, I understand that, but the things I'm dealing with, not adultery and it's not murder. But folks, let me tell you something. It doesn't have to be on the grand scale of adultery and murder to rob our happiness. Covering sin robs happiness. Steals it. Look what he said in verse number 3. He said, when I kept silence. David covered his sin by being silent. Silent to God. He did not address his sin to God. Didn't address it. Now, if we can just hold together here, there's a lot of movement this morning. Just hang on, folks, and try to get through the next few minutes. Am I going to be out? I think it's people battling a cough or something, but there's a lot of movement. Any movement distracts people. So hang with us. A lot of it coming and going. Brother Joe, let's just have the folks sit out in the foyer. Okay, if you can help us with that, I'd appreciate it. Now, David said when he kept silence, he covered his sin by being silent to God. Now, folks, it is no secret after we get saved, we still sin. This is one of the topics in our Sunday school class this morning. And the question came up, basically, you know, when you sin, do you lose your salvation? You can't lose your salvation. Because you're not keeping it. God is. And He seals eternal life inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Eternal life is sealed in the body of a believer by the person of the Holy Spirit. And when you get saved, you're born to God. Which means then you've got God's DNA in you. I have 6 children. They haven't always pleased me. And God forbid if one of them would go wacko in life and commit robbery or murder somebody, it would grieve me, but they would still be my child. My DNA is in them. It can't be changed. When you get saved, you're born to God. You become His child. You can't lose your salvation, but hear me this morning. We still sin. We have a sin nature. And that sin nature is not removed when we get saved. Now the Spirit of God lives inside of us and He has power over our sin nature. But it won't be taken away until we see Jesus. And that sin nature still loves to have its way in our hearts and in our lives. And folks, hear me, God knows when we sin. And to remain silent about it displeases Him. It's not, He doesn't, and it robs us of happiness. Look at what David said. Look at the wording in verses 3 and 4. He said, when I kept silence, what's the result of his keeping silence? He said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer. Bones waxing old, roaring day and night. God's hand was heavy on him. His moisture was turned into drought. From those descriptions of how David was feeling, would you say he was happy or unhappy? Pretty obvious he was unhappy. Terribly unhappy. He was an unhappy man. You see, people, listen, God's people, saved people, cannot live happily with unconfessed sin. Can't do it. It won't work. When we try to cover our sin, it does not please God and it certainly does not profit us. And here's the thing, folks. It's not just that we sin. The thing that bothers God is that when we sin, the fellowship that He enjoys with us is broken. And when that fellowship is broken, He wants it fixed. And broken fellowship cannot be repaired as long as we cover our sin. I've said it before. It's so interesting to me that God desires for fellowship with us more than we desire fellowship with God. He longs for it. That's why He created man. He created Adam so He could fellowship with man. All right? There was no fellowship with God with the animals. I don't care what PETA says. All right? I like animals to a degree, but there's no fellowship between God and animals. But there's fellowship between God and people. saved people. And when we sin and we're silent about it and we don't confess it and acknowledge it, that fellowship is broken and the heart of God is sad. Covering our sin does not fix the broken fellowship, and God isn't pleased that we would live like that. Remember the story about David? Let me rehearse it. Well, not rehearse it, but let me take you back there briefly now. Uriah's dead, and Bathsheba, with child, becomes his wife. So now, in the eyes of the public, the child is his and hers. And it's okay because they're married. You know what the last phrase in the chapter says? The last phrase in the chapter says, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." You see, David covered it this way, and he covered it this way, and he covered it this way, and he covered it this way, but he forgot one direction. He thought he had all of his tracks covered. No sense to bring this up to anybody. But God saw through it all and was very displeased that David would go on like nothing happened. And what's interesting to me here, folks, in these verses is the description of what David was experiencing was physical in nature. In other words, his unconfessed sin was not only the cause of unhappiness, it became the cause of physical problems. Now, don't jump ahead of me and don't say that Pastor Angel said that all physical problems are the cause of unconfessed sin. That's not true. Some physical problems are just because we're physical and because we're getting old and because we get sick. But you hear me. Some physical problems are caused by unconfessed sin. Some physical problems are caused by unconfessed sin. A saved person who's supposed to be in fellowship with God sins in such a way that it grieves God horribly, and the fellowship is broken, and we go on in silence like nothing has happened. We go on in silence with God. We don't acknowledge it. We don't confess it. We don't ask for forgiveness. We don't ask for cleansing. And after a while, our bones roar. Our bones wax old. Our body roars. That sin mushrooms, and that unconfessed sin and all the emotional stress of unconfessed sin makes a person sick. It has been amazing to me to find out over the years in pastoring a church and dealing with people. It's been amazing to me on two or three occasions to find out people who experienced severe physical problems had years and years of unconfessed sin in their life. Years. And the doctors want to diagnose it with all these terms. And I'm not belittling doctors. It's really quiet here right now because we're on a subject that all of us deal with. Unconfessed sin, folks, robs you of happiness. And if it goes on long enough, it eventually becomes it will turn into a physical problem. It could in your own body. That's what David is experiencing here because he was silent about his sin. Listen very carefully. We should confess our sin. I wonder if we even think about it. We even stop and think about it. You know, I need to make sure that my heart is right with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We should confess our sin. We should confess it right away. You know what Dr. John R. Rice said? He said, keep short accounts with God. I mean, have you ever had a thought that was ungodly and wicked in the middle of the day, and then immediately the Spirit of God goes, that's not right, and immediately said, God, please forgive me. You don't have to run to the church altar. You don't have to be in your knees with your hands folded, your eyes closed, in the posture of prayer to ask God to forgive you. And sometimes it's a matter of, Lord, help me. But it's living with an awareness that I want to confess my sin right away. We should confess it with the intention not to repeat sin. Because forgiveness is not a license to go out and sin again. Forgiveness is an opportunity to start over. A new start. A fresh, clean slate. And we don't say, God forgive me, and then run back out and do it all over again. God forgive me, and run back out and do it. No, that's not confession. We should confess completely, not partially. And I will say this, folks, we should confess with sorrow and sadness. There ought to be some measure of sorrow that we would think such a thing or do such a thing or react in such a way. There ought to be some compunction. Is that a word? Isn't that an old-fashioned word? I don't know if that's even a word. I don't know. What word am I looking for? It sounds good, though, doesn't it, huh? It's all right. There ought to be some measure of, hey, do you get a charge out of a kid being told to tell you they're sorry? Tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. Does that mean anything to you? Nothing. I'll tell you what means something to you. A lip trembling. A little bit of a, I'm sorry. Huh? Now, you don't got to break down in tears, folks, but I want to tell you something. It wouldn't hurt a child of God to be a little bit upset at himself or herself for disobeying the Lord. God, forgive me. I try to live a transparent life in front of you folks, but because when you're up here preaching, I know sometimes, man, you just, you know, and people get the idea, well, man, he doesn't have any trouble. I got mad Wednesday night after church. Stupid. I got mad. Raised my voice. And I felt terrible. Now, to her, it don't matter if you feel terrible or not. That's how women are. Don't you see how serious I am? But I tell you what, man, I told God I was sorry. And I meant it. I felt bad. I shouldn't live that way. It shouldn't be that way. My temper shouldn't get the best of me. The Holy Spirit's not in that. The Holy Spirit's not a part of that, not in 1,000 miles of that. Shame on me. And that's how I approach God. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm talking about the pursuit of happiness. I'm talking about God's program for the pursuit of happiness. In God's program for the pursuit of happiness, we have to live with confessed sin. Now listen carefully. I'm thankful for this. God does not take us to the woodshed for all of our sin. If He did, we would live in the woodshed. Did you ever feel like you did that when you were a kid? Sometimes I felt like Dad should have just spanked me first thing in the morning for whatever was going to happen that day. Let's just get this over with now. God does not take us to the woodshed for all of our sin. But God does put His finger of displeasure on us for certain sins. And when He puts His finger of conviction and displeasure on our hearts, we are very foolish to dismiss it or refuse to confess it. Are you with me, church? You know what I'm talking about if you've been saved. God doesn't take us to the woodshed for every sin, but there are times when God says, I'm not happy. And boy, when that happens, our immediate response, God forgive me. God forgive me. Covered sin and is unconfessed sin. It will continue to grow and expand until it smothers our happiness. You can't keep it covered. I remember a story Tom Malone told years ago. Never have forgotten it. Tom Malone and his brother were raised by their grandparents in Alabama. I do not know what happened to their dad and mom. I don't know, but they were raised by their grandparents on a farm in Alabama. And one day, one of the cows died. And Grandpa had to go into town, and it was a summer day, and he told Tom Malone and his brother, he said, boys, I want you to dig a hole while I'm gone today. We're going to bury that cow. You're going to bury that cow. He said, now you're going to have to bury it. You know, you have to dig it 6 feet deep, at least 5 or 6 feet deep. It's a big cow. So they began to dig, and they, a lot of the ground in Alabama is like it is where I grew up in Georgia. It's that clay. You ever dug in clay? It's horrible. And they dug, and they dug, and they dug about 2 or 3 feet deep, and they said, good enough. And they shoved that cow in there and covered it over with a little thin layer of dirt. Grandpa came home and said, boys, did you get the hole dug? Yes, sir. Did you get the cow buried? Yes, sir. All was covered. But in the hot July sun, about 3 days later, they looked out there and that thin layer of dirt had expanded. That cow had bloated up. And he said, boys, how deep was that hole? And they had to admit that they didn't dig that hole 6 feet deep. And I don't recall for sure, but I think he made them re-dig the hole and they had to bury that cow properly. Now, folks, that's a kind of a funny story to me, but it's not funny when it talks about, when I'm talking about our sin being unconfessed and not dealing with things that God deals with us about and covering it with a thin layer of some kind of cover, it's going to bloat up. It's going to rob us of happiness. Because sin covered by man results in happiness. But I'm going to say at the close of the message this morning, number two, I want you to see that sin covered by God, sin covered by man results in unhappiness. Sin covered by God results in happiness. Look at verse 1. Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And look at verse number 5. 3 and 4 tell how David was when he was silent. Look at verse number 5. Now he changes his tune. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David said, Lord, I remember how it was when I was silent, and then I remember how it was when I acknowledged my sin and refused to hide it any longer, and I confessed it to you, and immediately you forgave and you covered my sin. And friend, the experience of confessed and forgiven sin was so wonderful that David used the word Selah at the end of verse number 5, which means pause and consider that and think about it. He acknowledged his sin. He refused to hide it. He confessed it before God, and immediately his sin was not only forgiven, but it was covered by God. Immediately. Confessed and covered sin results in happiness. A life of unconfessed sin will hinder our happiness. And I don't care how many physical luxuries you put around you to make you happy. Luxuries, outward luxuries, do not create inward happiness. Inward happiness for a child of God has everything to do with the condition of our heart. Is the sin God put His finger on acknowledged? You're right, God. And I'm wrong. Please forgive me. Is it acknowledged? Is it confessed? Is it uncovered? If it is, then it's covered by God. It's forgiven. And all the, I've told you this before. I worked out there for 10 years for Brother Brown out in Iowa. One time that I can recall, I lied to him. A bold-faced lie. As his assistant pastor, something happened at the church. And it was not a bad thing. It was actually a good thing. And for some reason, He didn't want anybody to know. And he said, now, Terry, I don't even want to tell anybody. He said, you tell Joyce. But he said, I don't even want you to tell her parents or your parents. Don't tell anybody. And that was important because her parents were members of the church. And day or two after that, I was talking to Dad and Mom, and they asked, how's the church doing? And I said, fine. And guess what happened? And I told them. And immediately, I thought I shouldn't have done that. And wouldn't you know it, the next day, when I showed up at the church, Brother Brown and I were talking, and he said, by the way, have you told anybody about that thing I told you not to tell anybody about? And it caught me off guard. And my immediate response was, no. And as soon as that word came out of my mouth, my heart sunk. And I kept silent. And I lived for a day and a half with this awful black cloud hanging over my head and my insides all messed up because I had lied and God put His finger on it. And I was silent about it. And finally, on Saturday morning, I knocked on his door and I said, "Pastor," I said, "2 days ago you asked me if I had told anybody about that thing and I lied to you. And I'm sorry. Forgive me." And brother, I'm not kidding. When I said that, he said, "Oh, Terry, that's okay." He said, "Who'd you tell?" I said, "My dad and mom." I said, "It just came out." He said, "Oh, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's okay." But brother, I'm going to tell you, I left with a spring in my step. Because covered sin robs you of happiness. Now, folks, I've said it before in this message. I want to reiterate again. God doesn't take us to the woodshed for every sin. That's His mercy, isn't it? But there are times when God goes, "I am not happy." And when He says, "I'm not happy," the best thing for you and I to do is get open about it. "You're right, God. That was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Please forgive me. I sinned against you. Please have mercy." You ever even think about it? You ever even think about it? We go days. Never confess any sin. And we wonder why we're not happy in the Christian life. It's a joy robber. It's a happiness stealer. The pursuit of happiness is found in God covering our sin, not us. "I'm sorry, God. It's you take it." He said, "I'll take it and I'll put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and it's gone." It's forgiveness. There are times when we need to confess it to God and to those we have wronged. Has God put His finger on something with your husband, something with your wife, something with your parents, your teacher, your boss? God's working on us, folks, not to hurt us, to help us restore happiness. Confess it. Forsake it and go on your way serving God. In the pursuit of happiness, there has to be confession of sin. Thank you for listening. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. That noise in the background is from the Spanish church, the volume's a little loud up there this morning. I apologize to you folks in the balcony today about that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's not let anything distract us from the moment. Who would say, "Pastor, somewhere during the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart." So, not the most happy subject to deal with, but it's true and it happens and it's a part of life as children of God. But "Pastor, I needed that. I'm reminded that I need to be more sensitive to God when He puts His finger on the sin of my life and not be silent about it, but to be open and honest before God and man." And God spoke to me about that this morning. Would you slip your hand in the air if that's you this morning, wherever you're sitting? God bless you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Anybody else this morning? Could be the reason you're battling with happiness. That there's just so much built up in your heart that you just need to get along with God, spend a little time and say, "Lord, you may not remember every sin." You can't. But you can get God's cleansing on your heart. Get the sin confessed. Anybody else? "Say, Pastor, I should have raised my hand just then. I was negligent too, but I want to raise it now and say, pray for me when you close." Anybody else? Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else. All right. Now let me ask this question. This is a different question. Is there anybody here that would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved"? I talked about being saved and part of the message and how that when you get saved, you become a child of God and you give an eternal life. You never lose it. You're headed for heaven. It's the grace and mercy of God that does that. Is there anybody here today who would say, "Pastor, I'm not sure that that's ever happened to me. I'm not sure that I'm saved"? Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air and just slip it up so I can see it momentarily? Right back down. "I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me." Anybody like that in the auditorium today? Upstairs or downstairs? Member or visitor, doesn't matter. "I'm not sure that I'm saved." All right, if you're saved this morning and you've not been baptized, and you came and you want to be baptized this morning, you came for that purpose, now's the time to come. If you want to come talk to one of the men about getting baptized, you may do that as now as well. But if you came in order to be baptized this morning, now's the time to come from where you sit so we can get things ready in the back. You come while we wait this morning. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for Your grace and mercy. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us and forgives us of our sin. And God, I pray that You'll help us not to live silent about sin, but Lord, to be open about it with You. And when You put Your finger on it, to confess it, acknowledge it, confess it, and forsake it. And God, that we'll put it under Your care, put it to You, let You cover it with the blood of Christ rather than cover it ourselves by some excuse. Lord, clear our hearts, our consciences. May we live open and honest before God and man. Father, help us, I pray today, as Your people to live that way, sensitive to Your work among us when it comes to our sin. May we confess it and forsake it and keep short accounts with You, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand and play. If you raised a hand this morning, I prayed for you. Now, maybe you ought to come and just say to God, Lord, help me. You spoke to my heart, and I'm going to speak back to You. I want my heart clean, and help me with this. If you're not sure that you're saved, you come tell one of these men that you need to be saved. If you'd like to be baptized since you've been saved, you come and tell one of these men about it. Heads will be bowed, eyes will be closed. It's a personal time. Let's stand together, please, as the ladies begin to play. If God spoke to your heart, now's the time to come. Don't wait. Don't linger. When God speaks to us, we ought not have to wait 15, 20 minutes to respond. Let's let the Lord work on us. You come this morning while we wait today.